Strip is the 347th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Chris.
And thank you so much for tuning in, joining us today. We very much appreciate it. If you're watching us live, then make sure you tune in to your, or log in to your YouTube or Google account. That way you could chat along with us in the live chat. You know, say hi, ask us questions, talk shit, whatever, fact check, all that good stuff. Okay, what's going on? Next time you talk to Arnold, ask him if he wants to invite Cornette over for Rachel Bingo. Oh, God. Thank you, Daniel. Welcome. Welcome into the live chat. If you're not watching this live, that's okay. You can still interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/Houston Wrestling Radio, or on Twitter at H Wrestling Radio. And we also have an Instagrammy, and man, we hardly ever touch that ourselves, but it's there.
Instagram, Pinterest, YouPorn, Tinder. Right. Mm-hmm. Swipe right on us.
Yeah. Craigslist.
Yeah. We'll let the listeners segue tonight. Jim Cornette.
Oh, yeah. So he said some racist shit, and now he's fired? He resigned.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you hear what he said?
Something about fried chicken in Ethiopia or something.
Trevor Murdoch is such a strong individual that he can walk with a bucket full of chicken over his back across Ethiopia.
Goddamn.
Something along that line. First impression when you found this out?
Well, what I found out first was that he was gone from NWA Power. Mm-hmm. I didn't know why. So it's like, oh, Cornette's gone? That's weird. Why would he leave that? Or, you know, like that didn't make sense. And then when I found out from the comments that he said, I was like, oh. But that also doesn't seem like Cornette to actually say, my bad, y'all, I'm going to resign. Knowing Cornette, like, he usually doubles down on shit. But this, he didn't. So I'm kind of like, okay, good for you? He did double down?
He posted on Twitter to promote his upcoming episode tomorrow, Friday, 22nd.
Okay.
Morning, y'all. Heard any funny jokes lately? Yeah.
So if this was him resigning out of his damn, I really fucked up, you know, then okay, great. But it probably wasn't. It was probably somebody in management saying, you know what? You need to resign. Yeah. You know? And if that's the case, then what little shred of maybe kind of respect, maybe you realized how bad you fucked up, that's out the window. So at this point, you fucked up. Come on now. What about you? I feel like you're about to have a dissenting opinion here. What's up?
That's not so much a dissenting opinion. It was in stages.
Okay.
I didn't watch the showing live. Well, when it aired, so I watched like an edited version because I didn't hear it when I saw it in NWA last night. I'm going to preface this by saying I'm a 38-year-old Mexican who went to public school. So the first thing I thought in my head was, oh, Cornette tried to put Trevor Murdoch over by saying that he could walk across a country that's going through shortages of food with food in his person, and he can escape with said food still in his person.
Right.
And his attempt to put Trevor Murdoch over the way Jim Cornette, as he does, has his way of putting people
creatively,
over.
Yeah.
Creatively.
Okay.
And at that second, I was like, fuck, more snowflakes. Here we go. You know, again, I like Daniel Tosh. I listen to Dave Chappelle. My humor can go a little dark sometimes, and I can take it for what it is because it's just words coming out of somebody's mouth.
Right.
You know? But after listening and actually Googling, you know, because I was self-taught the easy things. For example, just as an example, as a sentence, you do not call anyone from the African American descent a nigger.
Okay.
Just that last sentence, someone can take it out of proportion or bend it to whatever weapon they want to use to turn it against me and fuck me.
Okay.
You know? The thing with Tyson Fury, the last time we recorded, you're not supposed to call blanks a gypsy.
Yeah.
You know, there's certain things that we know.
Yeah.
But that was 80s, 90s when a lot of people turned a blind eye to certain things. Right now, 2019, the year of social media and the year of the land of the free, home of the offended, depending, you know, before I learned this knowledge.
Yeah.
You know. And then after the knowledge, I was like, man, if he would have just said anything other than chicken, I would have still had the same thought in my mind that this is just Jim Cornette, a color commentator, trying to put over this wrestler on this television, fictional television program.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when he did the Twitter thing, doubling down instead of the first words coming out of his mouth, hopefully, I was hoping he would beat Dave Lagana, Billy Corrigan, anyone else from NWA Creative or Power to the punch and apologize.
Okay.
If he would have done that, I, again, at the age of 2019, I wouldn't have been quick to fire him. I would have been as a company, would have wanted to make the initiative to put him through some sensitivity training or try to wash out a lot of the things instead of just saying, oh, you made a mistake, bye. Because that's what everyone fucking does now. No one gets the benefit of the doubt. Nobody gets a chance to fix their mistake on the job or anything like that. Not to mention, this was taped over a month ago. There had to have been somebody in pre-tape or post cutting up all the stuff to have caught something, you know, or maybe they just agreed, like Jim Cornette in the moment, the way Jim Cornette, old man from the 60s, does, and just shoots off the cuff.
Yeah.
And they didn't think it was going to be this kind of storm.
Yeah,
but now that the storm is over and the water's receding and Coronet's gone, damn, dude, it's on him. It's on him.
Yeah.
You know, you make a mistake, it's one thing to actually own up to it, be the first to own up to it, and try to work things out to where NW can be like, all right, we need to sit you down and fix you, you know, or teach you. Not necessarily fix you, just teach you. You know, I've heard some of his episodes on his podcast. He, for him complaining about how too far left and too far crazy Donald Trump and his Trumpians are, he came across in that moment like the people that he rails against. You know, where he hasn't evolved with the time. You know, and with that being said, with that being said, as a wrestling fan, that's why you hired Cornette. That's why people watched Cornette induct the Rock and Roll in the WWE Hall of Fame. They want to see him, hear him unfiltered, loose on television, because that's the charm that he brings. That's one of the first characters you think of other than Ric Flair or Harley Race when you think of old school NWA. And with Cornette gone from NWA, it dimmens my appeal. And both things can be true. He's a dick, and it's just like the example of Chris Benoit. In the ring, he was one of the best technical wrestlers in the world. As a human being, he's nothing.
Yeah.
You know? And it feels like already Jim Cornette's fallen in that position where I can appreciate what he brings to the table on a television show, but damn, dude.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, some things don't age well, you know?
No.
And this is one of the things. Yeah, with the NWA, you want to have that old school vibe that Cornette can bring that authenticity to, but there's also going to be some things that don't age well. I think I've used this analogy before at some point on this show in the 300 some odd episodes.
Randy.
Yeah, I know. That 300 some odd episodes that we've done. But I'm going to throw it out there again. I abso-fucking-lutely loved Silent Hill when I was a kid. I played the first Silent Hill game. I absolutely loved it. I played the second one a little bit. Then on the third and fourth one, I kind of fell off. But I always had a special place in my heart for the first Silent Hill. I loved it. Anybody try to come at me talking about Resident Evil, I was like, no, fuck you. Silent Hill. Silent Hill is way better than Resident Evil. You can go suck a dick.
Agreed. Right?
That's how I was. Okay, I was a Silent Hill fanboy.
Then.
And then I had one of those PS3s that would play PS1 and PS2 games, right? Mm-hmm. So I was like, fuck yeah, I got the PS3 that's all backwards compatible, which there was only a few of them, right?
Yeah.
I was, you know, excited. You know what? I'm going to fucking play Silent Hill. Oh, God. It was unplayable. I couldn't even get the controls right because it was one of those where it had a fixed camera. And in that time when that game was, you know, popular, you could do the fixed cameras and whatever. It's fine. But since then, the 2 or 3, 4, 5 years since then, when I picked up that other game, I got spoiled by all the other games that don't have a fixed camera. You use one analog stick to walk, the other to control where you're looking. And so I couldn't even fucking play Silent Hill because it was too outdated and too clunky and I couldn't walk around and I couldn't move and it didn't age very well. I go off on that tangent to come all the way around and say this about Cornette. You need to, you know, and NWA Power, you need to keep some of that same charm. Silent Hill 1, dog shit. The other Silent Hills that came after, okay, they were cool. Why? Because they updated with the cameras and how to do this and that and whatever. So I could have gone back and played Silent Hill The Room, you know, and I would have been okay with it.
That's
you
know?
Yeah. So NWA Power, you don't need to keep some of the elements for the sake of saying that, hey, you know, at least we have retro. This authentic retro. No, you need to update some shit. And if that includes getting rid of Cornette because he said something that he shouldn't say in 2019, then yeah. Now, you brought up the point, Daniel Price also brought up the point in the live chat that production fucking sat on this until it hit the air for weeks, maybe even a month or so. Mm-hmm. Somebody in their fucking team should have also been reprimanded. And they may have, and we just don't know it because they're not public figures. And maybe Cornette's just a scapegoat, but goddamn. You know, mm-hmm. Randy in the live chat, the thing that made both of us giggle was that any other food, I present to you a watermelon. Yeah, that would have been bad.
Do you get offended if they compare Mexicans to, like, tacos?
Depends. It depends. Because tacos are a thing Latin American. Yeah, in Latin America.
You get offended if they compare Mexicans to Taco Bell.
No. Well, maybe. Here's where I get offended with tacos. Oh, I can't eat that. If I eat that, I'm going to be shitting all night. Oh, I don't know how you eat that. Oh, you better run to the toilet.
It's like, cheaper than Activia. Who gives a fuck?
No, it doesn't do that to me at all. Anybody I know that eats tacos...
It's a double standard, bro.
But I mean, even if you're not fucking Hispanic. Like,
Randy, confirm.
Randy, she can eat tacos. I make tacos for her and she's fine. Same with Porsche. She's fine. One's white, one's black. They're okay. You don't eat tacos and all of a sudden start shitting all over the walls. That doesn't happen. Oh, you ate beans. Your mother's like, oh, we're ready to sit on the toilet. No, bitch. All you gotta do is soak them, and that takes all the gas out of them so that later when you cook them, you're fine. If you're getting gas from beans, it's because you're not soaking them and you're not washing them. Know how to do it right, bitch, and they know how to do it right in Mexico. They're not people just shitting all over the walls of Mexico. Every time they eat, they just chorro everywhere. That doesn't happen that way. Goddamn, that's where I get offended.
You think Irish get offended when they get compared to beer?
Maybe. Maybe if... I don't know. I'm not Irish.
Okay, just kidding.
People say the same thing about Indian food. I eat that fine too. Yes, you do. I can eat Indian food. I'm okay. Nothing happens to me.
Shut the tank. Yeah.
This is fucking ironclad, baby. Put whatever you want in this. Wait, hold on. Hold on.
What's worse, Cornette resigning from NWA? Or the Ring of Honor Women's Champion Kelly Klein being terminated by email during injury leave?
Robert, welcome. Thank you, Robert. And I have to Porsche systematic racism. Yeah. What? Okay. I don't know anything about this story other than Hector kind of popped it up in our last in our chat
yeah.
last minute. And I got to be honest, I don't even know who the hell this chick is. She's the ROH Women's Champion. Wait, yeah, they still have a Women's Champion?
The Women okay. of Honor. Yeah,
they still have a division. Okay, yes. Whatever. Like, I don't even know who the fuck she is. So if you know more about this, please share with us.
Joey Mercury left the company and on his way out has been leaking some shit here and there. And one of the things that he decided to leak recently was emails from the COO of Ring of Honor and Kelly Klein back and forth that technically from Ring of Honor's perspective that they were not going to renew her contract.
Okay.
Which I don't know if it's up or whatever, but Kelly Klein's husband, which you know is BJ Whitmer.
Oh, really?
I didn't know. Confirmed that she got fired by email during her injury leave, which she has, she's resting from a concussion that she received after she claims that Ring of Honor forced her to continue wrestle without having the concussion protocol or whatnot. Yeah.
Okay.
The mess is sticky.
Let me get this part out first.
Sure.
You know, because I'm going to feel like a piece of shit once I say this, but I can't resist.
Yeah.
Okay. Damn, how you get fired on your day off? All right, so I got that out. I'm sorry. I had to. But yeah, that's kind of fucked up. In this day and age, after everything that you've heard about WCW and ECW back in the day, fucking people getting mailed their fucking pink slip, literally, back in the 90s. Like, that's Bush League stuff from the 90s. No, you don't need to be doing that anymore. Really? You're going to fire somebody over email? Like,
it's not just gross. Somebody. Again, the climate of 2019.
Yeah.
It's been happening to guys with penises forever. You do it to a woman right now. That makes you look like a goddamn piece of shit.
Well, even if you did it to a guy. I don't care who you do it to. Some professional. Randy even says it here too. She agrees with me. Huh? My wife agrees with me. Who would have thought? Firing a person via email is poor business etiquette regardless. Yeah. So whether you're a dude or a chick, yeah. Now, you might be right. There might be more backlash with it being a female in this day and age, but that doesn't make it any more.
The head of your division, apparently. She's your champ.
And she's your champ. Chimera. Is she going to show up on Impact with the fucking title, drop it in a trash can like a Lunger Blaze? That'd be kind of cool. But
Klein versus Blanchard would be kind of cool.
I don't know anything about this chick. Is she even a good wrestler?
She is a very good wrestler. Is she? Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I don't even know what she looks like. I have no idea who the fuck this chick is.
Let me help you. She's a woman.
Okay.
That's all you know.
That's okay.
You don't judge a woman on their looks. You judge them on their merit. She's a champion. Straighten up. Oh, fuck.
Daniel Price. Firing a person via stripogram screams fun. I approve of getting fired by a stripper. Thanks, Randy.
So I'm going to just roll up to your house one day, like with roll up a cake and just leave it at the door.
You are fired.
Not just suspended, straight up gone. So we lost two people. We gained one.
Okay.
One word. When you first heard last week that WWE Backstage ended with CM Punk.
Really? Chris, one word. Give me your one word.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was out of town. I was in Tennessee. I was watching Backstage on a telly because I had cable there. And the show was about to end. And the whole thing about let's do something historic like all the other shows on our WWE Network do. And when he came out, I was like, wow, okay. And then the second thought was, I bet so many people are going to be pissed because this isn't a WWE deal. It's a Fox deal.
Right.
Which is exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And then he came on the air last night.
Yeah.
On the episode.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think?
I don't know if it was because it was his first actual episode. And it wasn't until the very, very end that we got the fire from CM Punk. The fire that I would expect. Now, yes, that fire was directed towards Seth Rollins, and even right now, I am not buying. I'm not on the side of people hating Seth Rollins. Okay, I mean, I think people are now just looking for somebody to fill that Cena void and that Roman Reigns void, you know, on Raw. They gotta have somebody to hate, and I don't think Seth is. I think all the hate Seth is getting is undeserved. Okay, now I'm take this from a guy that doesn't love Seth either. Arnold was one who fucking loved Seth Rollins last year, but I was like, yeah, okay, he's good. But I'm not like,
do you understand why he told him to stay away from Twitter?
I understand, but we're really talking about Punk here more than Seth. Okay, so let me circle back around to Punk. With Punk, he brought some fire, but he brought some fire to a foe that I was like, eh. So me myself personally, I was like,
the needle didn't move.
Yeah, it didn't move, but at least there at the end where he's, you know, cutting that whole promo about Seth and, well, not even a promo, but just telling him to not tweet. Cool, I got it. But it was also like not pipe bomb 2012 CM Punk that like he didn't have this fervor about it. He was just kind of casual, like, yeah, he should just stop tweeting. Yeah, like tweeting you? No, just tweeting altogether. Just stop. Like, he wasn't like, I could tell you what you're going to do. You need to stop tweeting because it does. Like, he wasn't agitated about it. And I was like, okay. Then at the very end, the very, very last segment where he's cutting a promo on Dan Aykroyd. Is that who it was?
Tom Arnold.
Yeah, that guy. I don't know. One of the Ghostbusters. when he was cutting a promo on that guy.
That's fucked up calling Roseanne a ghost.
I know, right?
Say one thing and you're off the air. You show like a ghost.
That's where I saw that glimmer, right?
Yeah.
So CM Punk, the character, not CM Punk, Phillip Brooks, the dude. Like when he was sitting there with Renee, it was CM Punk or Phillip Brooks, the dude, explaining, oh yeah, I'm coming back. I'm going to have freedom. This is cool. I can't get fired by Vince, so I can say what I want about him and, you know, this and that. This is what I'm going to do. But he was very calm, collected about it. And I was like, okay, cool. You're going to talk shit about the product. All right. Are you going to talk shit about the product yet? Like, yeah, okay, yeah, I know you're going to do this. Give it to me. And it never got there. When he was in the segment with David Arquette, he kind of laughed at David Arquette. But, like, not, ha-ha, you're a dumbass. Like, okay, this is actually kind of funny. Which, okay, that's more Phillip Brooks, not CM Punk. Like, he's not ripping people verbally a new asshole. He hasn't done that yet. So, And I'm not clinging to the scraps of hope saying that, well, since he's on WWE backstage, that means he's going to show up in the Rumble. Like, no.
Here in Houston.
No, that's not happening. He's done. He's not wrestling until he's actually wrestling. Until then, I'm not going to believe it. I'm not going to sit there and chant CM Punk in the arena, expecting him to come out to make the save for the fucking babyface getting attacked by the heels. I am not going to do that. I understand his role, where his place is now. He works for Fox as an analyst for wrestling on loan to WWE backstage. So in that setup of non-expectation, in that setup, I'm going to enjoy him for what he is. But so far, episode number one of him being there has been kind of, other than the shit that he said about Seth, there wasn't anything scathing. I'm expecting scathing from him. I'm expecting Daniel Bryan on Talking Smack. I'm expecting Miz on Talking Smack. That's what I want. I haven't had that yet. Well, sorry, go.
No, you're good. I can understand why you feel that way, because unlike a lot of talent, CM Punk doesn't just have the pipe bomb. CM Punk has that. You don't have the arms to pot the box with God,
right?
To the Rock.
That was still an intense promo.
You don't have the promo of him chalking shit about Laurinaitis to the point where he made him flinch.
Yeah.
CM Punk has the repertoire of 8 times out of 10. He grabs a mic, he's going to light the bitch on fire with his voice.
Yeah.
So the first time you see him on the television, you're expecting him to like start lighting matches, you know? I would consider last night's episode of Backstage no different than somebody returning back from an injury or returning from hiatus or from retirement. There's going to be rust.
Yeah.
You know, even talking, you know, when you took your break from the podcast hundreds of episodes ago, And you came back. It took a while to get your footing back in. Yeah. You know, we brought in Arnold. It took him a while to get his footing. You brought in Hector. It took him a while. You know, it's going to take that time for him to come back to prominence.
Right.
Now, your definition of prominence might be different from somebody else's definition of prominence or his right. definition of prominence, because we tend to build our heroes up that high sometimes.
Yeah, that's true.
We set ourselves up for disappointment.
Right.
And it's refreshing to hear you say what you said, because what I was thinking was, man, it's not. I hope they don't take it like they're on it, like these wrestling fans are on a date and they got a first kiss and they're already dropping their pants, ready to like knock them up. Like, savor the moment, soak up the kiss, wet, you know, wash your brow, you know, just enjoy the moment, savor it, look
wash
back
your
on
brow.
It.
Your brow's up here, bro.
No, that too. But like, realize that this is the moment that you're in right now. Don't look, this isn't one of those moments like we do fantasy booking or watching wrestling for so long that we can look 10 or 15 steps ahead. This is not that situation. Stay in this step, enjoy the moment, and have time to savor it.
Yeah.
Because even then, you never know how long this is going to last.
Right.
The whole CM Punk on backstage. Maybe Vince will say after a couple episodes, you know what? This isn't working for me.
Right.
You know,
because what if Punk does say something that pisses Vince off? Yeah, sure. He works for Fox. He doesn't work for Vince. But you trying to tell me that if Punk says something really scathing, that Vince isn't going to go to Fox and be like,
well, goddamn, pal, that's on my show, man.
Like, it's going to be a no for me, dog. Like, yeah. Like he's going to yeah. say that. Like, I mean, he Fox does have all the power, but that doesn't mean Vince has no power, mm-hmm. you know? And yeah, I think Punk thinks that he's kind of has it good, but at some point, if he says something the wrong way enough, he looks at Booker and says, Booker, come on, you're full of shit. You're a shill for Vince. This is what it's really happening. Yeah. And like, he like really lays something out with like a bunch of truth, then somebody gonna get their feathers ruffled. And you know, like, but that's kind of what I want to see. I want to see Punk just call out Book on something, because you can kind of tell Book is the puppet right now for Vince and the corporate voice of WWE, you know? Yeah. You can kind of tell. Punk, I'm not sure yet. Like, he could be the puppet corporate voice that's not corporate. Like, hey, make it sound like you're not talking corporate, but you need to say this stuff. Is that how it really is?
Yeah.
Or is he really shooting from here? From the heart, is he really saying what he says?
And even then, sometimes when you shoot from here, you're one coronet away from being gone.
You're one coronet away.
That's why, again, savor the moment you yeah. have now, and take step by step with Phil, with Punk.
That being said, let's say this shit is too problematic for Vince and for the WWE, because conflict of interest stuff, right? If Punk stays as an employee of Fox, where would you like to see his commentary or color or analyst skills? If it's not wrestling.
NBC hockey playoffs.
He knows hockey.
Oh my God. He's a huge Blackhawks guy, obviously from Chicago.
Yeah.
And I think he's filled in a couple of times on like maybe some preseason games. Look at me. It's all of a sudden I'm a hockey guy, but no, I think arrows,
no,
man. Arrows.
No, you're
man.
Not. You're not.
You're
in Houston. You're not a hockey guy.
We had all kinds of seasons this week. So yeah. But yeah, dude, maybe have him like, doing preseason for the Cubs, you know? I'm sure that, okay. You know, Fox picks up games. I'm not yeah. sure if they pick up as much hockey games.
And you know what? FS1. Anybody to replace fucking Joe Buck. FTP!
Hey, no, hold on a second, player.
Okay.
You might hate Joe Buck because you're fresh off the World Series.
Yeah.
But, man, if he gets the pedigree on being on that show and he leaves Fox to do the same thing elsewhere, get rid of Chris Collinsworth.
Oh,
now that's the guy right there that, no.
Yeah.
Houston Football Radio.
Yeah.
In 60 seconds or less.
Chris is like, I can play hockey too.
I'm a damn good goalie. I'll take everything in the face.
Daniel says, Booker's nice to Vince because he's hoping that he uses his ROW people.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and then again, how many people has they gotten from Booker? Ember, the Usos.
And Brandon for, commentary for...
Hyun's doing her own thing all over the world. Yeah. Gino debuted a couple weeks ago in MLW.
And he's doing his own thing all across the world, too.
Yeah. So, you need more.
Well, that's not to say that that's nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, okay, we got people that have come through Houston that didn't go through Booker's. Ray Rowe, Shane Taylor, Keith Lee, now Sammy Guevara.
ACH.
ACH. Not Jordan Miles. ACH.
Yeah. Oh, man. We can talk race all day in wrestling with this shit, man.
Houston Racist Radio? Is that where we are now? You know what?
Can I get Gino Hernandez? Can I get Gino for that racist bingo?
You know what? I get it, ACH. I get it. Now,
that's another one that I had to Google.
Is he going too far? Is his fervor, like, is his fire lit too much going on there? You know, fuck WWE. Like, okay, dude, you're still employed. Like, is he going too far? Is he? I mean, I see why he's justified. What they did with him is, you know, egregious. I get it. And I agree with him that that's fucked up. I agree with him he probably doesn't want to work there. I agree with him that he would like to quit. But quitting over Twitter, saying fuck you to the company, and all that, is that too far?
I'm coming from a guy.
JoJo, what's up, brother? I haven't seen JoJo in a while.
I drove by the National Streets, man. Woo! When you believe in something that much, there's no such thing as too far. Okay. And that's coming from someone that has no filter between his brain and his mouth.
Okay.
The albatross is, to the untrained eye, to the general populace, to the filthy casuals, what's an ACH? If this was Booker T, Mark Henry, The Rock.
Was talking shit about Jay Lethal, right? You're saying
something about that.
He called Jay Lethal and Uncle Tom, right? Is that what? Oh man. Yeah. Oh, okay. Like, you know, it's one thing standing up for your own cause. It's another thing knocking another guy down.
Yeah.
You know. Now, I am a minority, but I'm not the same minority. So I don't know if anybody else of that persuasion can call me out and tell me that I'm wrong. Okay, please do so. Let me know. But I don't know.
WrestlingRadio@gmail.com.
I know, right? Oh,
dust that off.
But I don't know. Like, I don't think me holding you back because you're succeeding at a company that I'm having racial issues with, I don't know if that means I should go after you. See what I'm saying? Like, me and you both work at the bank you work at. And the bank boss did something fucking really racist, but it was directed towards me. I shouldn't go, hey, bitch, you should quit too, just like me. Look what they did to me. You know what? You're a, what's the Mexican equivalent of Uncle Tom? You're a Tio Juan. I don't know. You're, you know, like.
You're losing me.
Wrong. I know, I am losing you. I mean, that would be wrong for me to do that, right? To hold you down or start saying, you know what, this guy, he's a traitor, right? I don't know. Enlighten me here. Where are we going?
Like Jay-Z said, man, what I eat shouldn't make you shit. I mean, if Jordan, you said it earlier, if Jordan Miles is passionate about something, then stay on that road. When you start taking detours and pulling out other people, then you start clouding your own purpose in what you're trying to do, you know? So it just,
to my knowledge, Cap never did that. Colin Kaepernick, he never did that. Like, he has a lot of stuff against NFL. The NFL did him dirty, right? But I don't remember him ever talking shit about any of the other players that kneeled or didn't kneel or like held arms or whatever. He never talked shit about any of the others.
No.
Also, he never went on like tirades. He did a lot of like, no, I'm still going to protest. No, I'm still going to represent what I represent. And I'm still going to wear my t-shirts and do a lot of passive aggressive shit. But he's never.
And I still want to play. Yeah. So just because I still want to play doesn't mean I'm the one at fault here. The machine's broken. It's not my fault the machine's broken. I'm just trying to get it fixed.
Yeah. I think there's a little bit of difference.
Yeah, a lot of difference.
That being said, ACH, friend of the show.
Oh, shit.
We've interviewed him a couple of times, right?
Yeah.
ACH, if you're watching, bro, I would abso-fucking-lutely love to have you on this show, man. Seriously. If you want to come vent and talk about whatever you want to talk about, come here. You're more than welcome.
Okay. In here?
Yeah, why not?
I got a vacuum.
Bitch!
In 60 seconds or less, tell the listeners and the viewers what you thought of AEW Full Gear.
I thought it was very exciting. I liked it. It was the matches that I did watch, because I didn't watch the full thing, because I didn't watch the first half, mm-hmm. because
you had plans.
Wedding. Yeah. the friend's wedding. But the fucking matches were top notch, man. It was really good. It was great. Now I am not sure when it came to the unsanctioned match. You know, we kind of talked about this where we're not sure how we're actually going to feel about, like, the blood and guts of it. And I don't really want to see blood and guts, but we kind of did. And I don't know. Some of it was just gross. That match was gross. I don't know. What do you think?
Could have been a lot worse. I don't want to talk out of both ends of my ass here, because I wanted to see Omega in a different environment to see what it felt like.
Yeah.
Now that I've seen it. Okay, no more.
Okay.
The reason why fans like us have been so enamored with Omega in the last couple of years before this year was because of his work rate, his output, his matches, his ability to have matches with a technical wrestler like Okada, with a pit bull like Ishii, with a carbon copy like Ibushi. Other than the match with Pac at All Out, I don't think I've seen Kenny this year have that kind of match.
Okay.
You know? So it was cool. And the promo on last week's episode where he's like pretending to lift the, you know, and he's like, I'm not known for hardcore. I'm not known for talking. I'm out of my comfort zone. But that's what I'm trying to do to better myself as a wrestler.
Since when is he not known for talking? I always thought he was a pretty good talker.
New Japan, he never had time on the mic.
What are you talking about?
During the show.
Thank you and good night. He would close every fucking show.
That's at the end.
But at the end of every show, he cut a promo. Thank you and good night.
But building a match.
That's talking.
Building a match. How many promos have you seen in New Japan of Kenny Omega on the mic building up to a match?
The promos at the end. Usually it's about, okay, at the end. I finished this match, but sometimes it's setting up the next one. It's talking. He talks.
How much in AEW?
Not that much.
There you go. That's why I said then. Now it's not the Kenny Omega that we're used to.
JoJo says, "I love the blood and guts." Sitting in the corner, all creepily. I like the blood and guts. Yeah, cut him more. Cut him more. I'll mess with you, JoJo.
No, it's not. With Omega and Moxie aside, it was still a good match. Damn, dude, Cody and Jericho, fuck me, dude. AEW show, man, that shit was good.
AEW show, man, that shit was good.
Hold on, let me turn down the volume on this.
Technical difficulties. The one time you want to leave early.
Yeah, I know, right.
You were waxing poetically about what you could be your match of the week pick. Rey Fénix against one of the Bucks.
Yeah, Rey versus one of the Bucks. Not sure which Buck.
The balding one.
Right. A Buck. One of the Bucks. There it is. Okay, cool. I really like the match. What I was trying to say was that...
Dick Buck.
It's Dick Buck.
Yeah.
At least it's not Joe
Buck. Dick Jackson. Yeah.
Joe Buck. Fuck Joe Buck. We've seen plenty of Rey Fénix by himself, right? We've seen a lot of that. But when it comes to the Bucks, we haven't seen a whole lot of them by themselves. And when it came to Matt and Jeff Hardy, Matt had a lot of stuff on his own where he was the, you know, he was the lunch pail guy, you know, the good work rate, you know, hard worker guy, you know, whatever. And Jeff was the guy that was like really over, but still had the high flyer things. When you split them two apart, they were like, they both lost a piece of something. Like, I felt like they were both more over together than they were separate, right? At least for, like, the first several years. It wasn't until, you know, Impact when we started getting the broken Matt Hardy that I felt like Matt was well-rounded out, you know? Jeff, I don't know. A lot of people will say Jeff is really fucking great or whatever. I never really thought he was amazing. Right, I was like, okay, he's cool, but I'm not like, oh my god, Jeff's the best thing. So by themselves, they were okay. Together, they were more than the sum of the parts, right? What I liked about this match with the Buck is that I didn't feel like we had a Nick or a Matt and Jeff situation. One of them was this guy, one of them was this guy. Together they completed each other. I feel like we have Nick and Matt. They both are the Bucks. They both have that style. You could separate them out and they still are the same.
As they're Ken and Ryu.
Yeah. They're the same as the same unit, which was cool in this particular match, because I felt like if you take out the elements of the tagging, you know, having to tag back and forth and do your tag team maneuvers and this and that, and it's just one-on-one, both of you guys trying to go balls to the wall and just outdo each other in a one-on-one match, nobody to tag to give you a respite, nobody to come in to help double team on another guy. I thought it was really, really good in a regular traditional wrestling sense, but still with the same flavor, all the fucking flavors that you get with Nick and Matt together in one match.
Yeah.
You know?
Minus the team spots,
which is okay.
I like the fact that commentary covered it by saying, you know, Phoenix, former AAA mega champion. He's held titles on his own by himself. You know, Nick Jackson's not used to wrestling singles matches, and he eventually just ran out of gas, where if it was a team, you wouldn't have noticed. As in Phoenix, he's used to running on 8,000 on his own, you know? So it did – I agree. It didn't feel like we were shorted anything because it was singles. You know, I liked it a lot. It's not my match of the week.
Okay,
but
that's fair.
You start off a show with that match, you know, as opposed to you start off NXT with a promo. What are you going to want to watch? The match that everyone's screaming over, you know?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it was. There's a lot of candidates, man. I'm going to just run through some of these real quick. Paige versus Pac from the pay-per-view was good. And I think the match that they had the following Wednesday on Dynamite was even better. Obviously Jericho and Cody, Murphy and Tozawa from Raw.
Oh yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, they gave him a lot more time than I expected.
Yeah.
How about Moxley versus Darby Allin?
That was pretty good. There was a lot of shenanigans in that match, but I mean, it's come to be expected. What I really liked of that match. The fucking storytelling and the opening and the bringing out the body bag and the guys bringing out Darby in said body bag and the whole video package leading up to it. I really liked all that, man. I think Darby's the guy that booking is looking over, but he's carving out his own overness to where eventually it's going to force the hand of booking to just give this guy the keys to the castle.
Yeah. I think the part that I liked the most about Darby's part in the whole story with Moxley had nothing to do with Darby or Moxley. Whoever's behind the camera at AEW needs to be getting a raise right now, because they are showing examples of why Darby is going to be this generation's CM Punk or this generation's next big wrestling hero. When you have girls and kids and grown-ups in the crowd, there were at least four people they showed on camera. I know it didn't sound like a lot, but you always got to start somewhere.
You got to zoom in on one person.
And remember, this is a 2-hour show, and he's still not on every episode.
Yeah.
He won over fans with Cody. He won over fans with Jericho, and now he won over more fans with Moxley. And when the cameraman is pointing out the little girl with glasses, or the adult, or the girl, or the young female in the audience, where half their face is painted like Darby, where you look at that face paint, you know, there's not a lot of people watching NWA, so not a lot of people know what a Thunder Rosa is. When they see half face paint on a person, they're going to instinctively think right now, Darby Allin.
Yeah,
and that's just furthering adding the coal into the hype train for Darby Allin. So once it leaves the station, ain't nobody stopping it. Whether he's two sizes or three sizes bigger than him, or twice as tall as him, doesn't matter. That's the Mankind. He has a special quirk. Tough. Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. Lynch versus Ripley was good. Not hating on the promo on Becky, but damn, that match was good.
Yeah,
there was a lot of good stuff on WWE the last couple of weeks, building up to the brand supremacy. But I feel like they shot themselves in the foot by having so many good matches end in like schmoz run-ins.
Oh, so dude, it rendered Raw, NXT, and quite possibly this go home SmackDown. It's gonna render them fucking unwatchable. Because everything that's going to happen is going to end in a schmoz, or, you know, it's an NXT guy versus a Raw guy, and SmackDown's going to come out, you know, or like a Raw guy versus a Raw guy because they actually have a fucking built-in storyline and a built-in feud that they've been working on for weeks, if not months, and then, oh, yeah, let's shoehorn all the NXT guys and SmackDown guys in here. Oh, fuck, man. Like, can we, like... It sucks, man, because it's like there's all these storylines. You got storylines for Raw, storylines for SmackDown, storylines for NXT all running together. But, oh, it's Survivor Series. You got to cross all those fucking streams. It's like, oh, man, come on, man. We may have actually had something going here with this guy or that guy. And it's like, no, we got to put all that shit on hold for what? Books about brand supremacy. She just wants to beat the other champs. Okay, cool. I agree. I don't give two bullets about brand supremacy either. But the man was born out of the fight of brand supremacy. You know, remember last year she got the bloody eye or the bloody nose from Nia Jax. Why? Because SmackDown wanted to invade Raw because of brand supremacy. And now, all of a sudden, you don't give two bullocks about it? Like, I agree with you as a fan, and you probably agree with me as a wrestler and a person, but as the character, the continuity of the character should give two bullocks about the brand supremacy, because that's where you were born.
He took the words right out of my mouth.
All
right. That was like the cherry on top to the dessert I was about to put on the table.
Sorry.
This booking, they had an opportunity for this booking to be something miraculous.
Okay.
And I think what turned out to be a blessing, what we thought was a blessing in disguise, that first Friday SmackDown that was NXT TakeOver on Friday, turned out to be a horrible red herring. How many times since we've done this brand supremacy, even before Survivor Series with WWE bragging rights, how often after they had the draft less than 2 months ago saying these brands are not going to intertwine?
That the contracts for Frogs are different than the contracts. Yeah. Okay.
So even with that bullshit, they have not once on television that I've noticed have they told us why is NXT so important that it's actually in Survivor Series this year. The easiest way to have built up this entire thing would have had Raw and SmackDown still going like this every Monday and Friday, and NXT chugging along and slowly building up to this pay-per-view. Have people like Becky, have people like Samoa Joe, Shinsuke Nakamura, Seth Rollins, the first ever NXT champ, be like, you know what? I know this is a brand supremacy, but that wouldn't be a brand without me. So I can't hate that brand. I made that brand, just like Naka made that brand, like Joe made that brand, like Drew made that brand, like Becky, Sasha, Bayley,
the War Raiders.
War Raiders, the Revival. They made that brand. Yeah. So I can't hate on them. I just, as a competitor, I want to see what the new generation is going to bring to the table. You know, for example, last night with Becky in the ring, Rhea could have came out and said, you know what? This time last year, you made an opportunity, and look where you are now. Mm-hmm. I'm not here out of disrespect. I'm just here to make the same opportunity for myself. Fight me. Done. That's it. Not everything has to be about brand supremacy. Ciampa made sure that he knocked the fuck out of Cole before he went to that ring. Even Friday on SmackDown when Triple H brought the whole team, you saw Adam Cole at one end and Ciampa's like, that side-eye shit, you know? Damn, you could have done so much building up this. Us, as marks that watch and listen to a wrestling podcast, we know the value of NXT.
Right.
So it's telling that this one week that NXT finally beat AEW on the ratings by a hair under 25,000 viewers, that started the show with a Raw person, ended the show with a Raw person, had people that watch wrestling on Fox and USA, and they still couldn't watch NXT on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Come on now.
But a win's a win, brother. Doesn't matter if you win by an inch or if you win by a mile. NXT won the Wednesday Night Wars for once.
Shit, tell that to McGuire, who won the Home Run Derby after they found out that he juiced. That's what that was last night. NXT got juiced. That's how they won that round. Yeah. That's not a clean win to me, bro.
Wow. Win's a win, brother.
They still.
Hey, Astros are still 2017 World Series champions.
And all that right? Trash can's the MVP, huh?
Yeah, that trash. You know, okay.
They have not added, for the casual person, they have not added any value to why NXT is on their show.
Okay.
And that's the disappointing thing to me, because as a person that has watched from a rival, Sami Zayn and Cesaro, a match of the year winner on our list, to now that it's not developmental. They have their own opportunity. They're on the same network that Raw is.
Yeah.
And even with Raw's own people, they still can't even come close to a Raw or SmackDown rating.
Well, here's the argument against that. Those Raw people weren't advertised to be on NXT. If you tuned into NXT, there happened to have been Raw people there.
Triple H ended the show saying the door's open for Raw and SmackDown. That's your advertising.
Okay.
And they post every 15 minutes on Facebook and Twitter.
JoJo says, thank you, agreed. He agrees with us on something. I'm not sure exactly what, but he agrees with us.
Probably something that the mic was off.
Yeah, I don't know.
He hears us. He reads our lips. Take over.
Yeah.
Your anticipation for the men's takeover match. Undisputed Era against Ciampa, Lee, Riddle, and question mark.
You mean the War Games match?
The War Games
match. He said takeover match. 9? Mostly because it's the fucking NXT War Games match. And you list off all of those dudes, and I'm excited for, you know, the majority of those guys to be in a human demolition derby match like that. Again, this kind of feels like you had a really good storyline with one thing. But since it's Survivor Series and since it's War Games, you got to cross the streams on some stuff. You literally have Ciampa putting a pause on his crest for Goldie. Daddy's back. Well, hold on. Daddy's got to go to war. Like, okay. It's kind of a flimsy pretext. Like, oh, hold on. This thing that I care about, this thing that I've rehabbed more than a year over to obsess over, and that when I had it, I named an inanimate object and treated it like a person, and I loved it, and I hugged it, and I kissed it. The thing that I prize over everything else in this world. I'm going to say, hold on. I got to do our scheduled yearly gimmick match. Okay. Now, he's handled it the absolute best way that you can, but that still doesn't change the fact that you have a gimmick match on the calendar, on the schedule, so you're building the storylines to shoehorn into the gimmick. You're not building storylines, and then if a gimmick match is warranted in the storyline, you're doing it. Which, that's kind of the problem with all of WWE whenever they're doing these scheduled gimmick matches. Oh, well, it's that time of year again, TLC. All of a sudden, everybody's going to get a ladder. Oh, it's Hell in a Cell. Oh, guess what? We're going to have everybody getting in the cell because the cell's the best kind of match to have. Oh, you know what? It's Survivor Series. We got to have everybody wanting to be on teams. Oh, hey, you know what?
Even though the draft happened and it's only been a month.
Yeah, like, okay. That's worn a little thin on me. That's why this isn't at a 10 or even a fucking 11, because the stories, you know, and yeah, okay, I get it that Keith Lee and Matt Riddle are bros, kind of, you know, but why with the other, you know, and the Undisputed Era, okay, I get it, they're a unit, so it makes sense, but it's just, it's not cohesive. I'm still at a fucking 9, okay? I'm still at a fucking 9, but could have been higher.
I am also at a 9, but this 9 is wearing a fucking bulletproof vest.
What does that mean?
Because before we even muddied the water with Brand Supremacy, we weren't supposed to get Matt Riddle against Finn Balor. We're supposed to get Matt Riddle in this match. And all the matches leading up to this looked like we were going to get Matt Riddle in this match. Because we were going to get Finn against Johnny Gargano.
Right.
And then Gargano's neck injury or whatever, and all of a sudden,
it gets pulled.
There goes Riddle, you know? Then the Brand Supremacy stuff starts to sneak its ugly head in here.
Right.
And to echo the sentiment of you just did with Ciampa, it's a bulletproof 9 because I want to see Keith Lee. I want to see Dijakovic. Mm-hmm. I want to see Undisputed Era go 3-0 in War Games.
Okay.
I want to see how this ends. You know, I sure as fuck hope they don't end it with a Raw and SmackDown jump the shit and they beat the shit out of everybody and they're
fuck me. Okay. That'd be terrible. Dude, if that happened.
And then they build up to 5-on-5-on-5 Survivor Series elimination in the War Games. Because it's in the same building, the same weekend. Well, both rings are already in there. and there's another reason that I'm at my 9's bulletproof, but I'm not going to merge. I'm not going to cross streams. I'm going to just stick to this topic at hand. I'm at a 9, and I've got Undisputed Era going for the hat trick.
I don't mind. You know what? Yeah, Undisputed Era. Why the fuck not? Okay. Let him be 3-0. That'd be cool. Who do you think will be the mystery partner? Because, okay, now it's Goldie. It's Ciampa, Dijakovic, and Keith Lee and a mystery partner.
I don't think Dijakovic was in this, but just an anti-hero doing his own thing.
Okay.
You know? And I guess, like, out of respect, Keith Lee and Dijakovic became buddies, at least for this match. But I was
fuck you, JoJo.
I was expecting Velveteen Dream to be the fourth person.
That's who.
I'm hoping Velveteen Dream is the fourth person.
Fucking JoJo said Punk.
I forgot JoJo is a Punk mark.
Yeah. Porsche also says Velveteen. Yeah. My guess is Velveteen. Like, he's nowhere on the card, but he's injured, but he should be, you know, ready to come back. And sure, why the fuck not? Why not Velveteen?
Are we done with that topic?
Sure.
So I avoided crossing streams. If that 9 didn't have a vest, it would probably be at about a 4.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is probably, I'm sure you agree with me, the way the whole thing was built up from the beginning, especially with the NXT men's title. This would have been the year that I would have wanted the women to headline it with their War Games match.
Oh, cool.
You know, there we have the women 4-on-4, which that's been an interesting story also, how we're putting the whole thing together.
Can you pause? I don't mean to interrupt.
No.
But
go ahead.
Robert says a very interesting one that I was like, ooh, so much I had to interrupt you. Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens is a mystery entrant.
For Kevin Owens to be the mystery entrant, that would mean that he would have to go back to NXT.
Yeah, and remember, Triple H was trying to sweet talk him into it.
Think of the main card: Owens against Ciampa, Owens against Balor, Owens against Riddle.
Yeah, all those will work. Owens against Fish? Owens against O'Reilly? Owens against Cole? Fuck Roger Strong. But you know,
I don't know. I think I need to warm myself up to Kevin Owens again. I'm not sure. They flip flopped the back and forth with the face and heel thing this year. Okay. That I'm trying to get back. I'm trying to fall in like with him again before I start thinking about, oh man, he's going back to NXT. You know.
Okay. Sorry. Women.
The women. I believe the women should have headlined this pay-per-view in their War Games match.
Okay.
My anticipation for that match is actually lower. It's at a 7. A lot of that does have to do with the brand supremacy, even though I like the little nuggets that, like, Dakota Kai, like, fell out, you know? And Even then I was thinking, hey, can Dakota Kai out of vengeance? Not so much to side with the horsewomen, but just to prove her worth, that she belonged in this match. And then once her team wins, She can challenge Baszler as, like, I scratched your back, now you need to scratch mine. He'll come up with a title match. And then they pulled the rug right under us and gave us Kaylee Ray, the NXT UK women's champion. So all that was interesting. The thing that turned me off a little bit was all the women dropping on a dime with fucking Nikki Cross and the trash can lid. It's like, if you're going to drop that fast with that, how are you going to last in a War Games match?
Good point.
That's the only thing that's starting to reel me back a bit. But I'm at a 7. And if Undisputed Era is gonna be the heel team winning, then I've got winning.
I'm gonna go with a 9. I like the faces winning because, god damn it, Baszler's got to lose something. And if she's not losing the title, she's losing the match that isn't for the title.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the faces will win this match. But the reason why I'm at a 9 for this is all the stuff that you said that was positive about, like, Dakota Kai and the way the team actually formed and all that, and the fact that we have EO on the heel team, you know, I like it. I like all the storytelling. I think the storytelling for this match coming together was better than the.
It's a lot more intricate to me.
Yeah, it was better than the men's.
Yeah.
I'm at a 9. I'm not at a 10. I could have been at a 10, but I'm not. And I think what's holding me back from a 10 on this particular match is the fact that it's the second War Games match of the night. You know, I don't know which one's going to go first, which one's going to go last. But I'm saying there's two of them. And this is the fourth year of War Games?
Third?
Okay, third year of War Games. And again, all the stuff that I said about the men's, it's on the calendar now. We have to have a War Games match. Well, now we have to have a men's and we have to have a women's. And it's like, okay, you know, trying to cross those streams, putting everything on hold, whatever. Like, yeah. But in the women's division for this particular year is kind of a welcomed break from Shayna beating everybody.
Yeah.
Let's let Shayna lose something, goddammit.
And then, she doesn't necessarily have to get pinned in this either for me to,
that's true
to
too.
Validate that.
Although I would like for her to be the one to lose because she never fucking loses.
Yeah.
So apparently at some point she has to lose without losing the title. This is a perfect opportunity for that to happen.
And it saves face.
And it
takes safe. 4 women in a cage to knock me down and I still have the belt. So
yeah. So yeah, I like that. NXT woman interested me more than the men's match. Okay, thank you, JoJo.
We talked about it earlier.
Yeah.
Matt Riddle, Finn Balor. What you thinking?
7. I'm slowly, very slowly getting sold on Matt Riddle. I think a lot of that is the rub that he's getting in my mind, my personal mind.
From Lee?
From Lee, because I fucking adore Keith Lee, you know.
Limitless Bros, man.
Yeah. So that's kind of bringing me around to Matt Riddle. I do feel it's kind of haphazard, Matt Riddle versus Finn just kind of happening out of nowhere. I think the story that's more interesting is the fuck is Finn doing? You know, Finn came back. He looked like he was going to challenge for a title, but he has a placeholder feud that was going to go on. Well, now he has a placeholder to the placeholder feud. So I don't know. What are your plans for Finn? Is it Finn, Gargano, and Ciampa all going to, and Cole all going to fight over the title? well, are you going to throw the bro in there now? So is it five people that are eventually going to fight for the title that are all feuding? And, you know, is this right before the wild card weekend of the fucking playoffs? And you have five teams that are on the bubble that are trying to get into the dance? Like what's going on here? You know? Mm-hmm. So I'm interested in that part of it. And, of course, the match itself on paper, that sounds like it's going to be great.
Yeah. I'm at a 9 for this match. I've been a fan of Riddle for a while. It's different. You know, I think this edgy side of Finn, the last couple of weeks with the interactions that he's had on the mic and in the ring, it feels like we're getting the Prince back. He said that on that debut episode of Backstage when he got interviewed by Renee and Booker. He's like, yeah, the Prince is back. And I can see the little like strut in his step after he did the double stomp on Matt. And it just felt like, oh, shit, this guy ain't playing around no more. I mean, this looks like the Finn I recognized, you know? And I actually have Finn winning this.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to disagree with you because I just want to disagree. But you're not going to move Finn from the main roster down to NXT to just to have him lose to a replacement of a replacement.
Yeah.
You know, all due respect to Matt Riddle, who is on upward trajectory. I
could probably stay going upward regardless of a loss.
Yeah, yeah. He could take this loss and still upward trajectory, so it's fine. He could take the loss. Finn needs the win, I would think. So, yeah. Finn.
There are only 4 matches announced so far.
Just those 4?
This is the last one.
Oh, we did 3. Math.
Pete Dunne.
Okay.
Damian Priest.
Yeah.
Killian Dane.
Okay.
Triple Threat.
Mm-hmm.
The winner wrestles Adam Cole for the NXT title the next night at Survivor Series.
Okay.
Anticipation level.
My anticipation level is an 8. Chris, let me ask you a question. What match is my favorite type of match?
Triple Threat.
That's true. It is Triple Threat. I like Triple Threats. Like them a lot.
The menages.
The menages. The reason why I'm not at a 9 or a 10 is simply because I don't give a fuck about Killian Dane or Damian Priest.
Ouch.
Pete Dunne, I have half a fuck to give right now. Not even a full fuck.
At least half a man. That's true.
Oh, God. I haven't given a full fuck about him until or ever since, like, he hasn't done anything since losing that historic reign with the NXT UK title. Okay, you won that, and you had it for a long time, and that's your claim to fame now, and they're not going to do anything else with him. That's kind of how I feel about it, how I feel how they think about his booking. And Killian, Damian, he's got a ways to go, but I could see myself taking a shine to him at some point, but I'm just not there yet with him. Who do I think is going to win? I would like to be proven wrong on Damian Priest, and I would like to have my Cien Almas moment where, oh, fuck, I do like this guy now. I hope that this match is that match. Why not? Let's let Damian Priest win it.
Cole versus Priest, huh?
That'd be my pick. Of course, Cole will win. That's my self-indulgent pick, I guess you could say. Most likely, it'll probably be Dunne because he's a more of an established name. But I would really like it if Damian Priest won.
I'm at about a 8 for this match. Killian Dane's not weighing it down for me a lot, but it just it's not that he's not weighing me down. I don't have a lot of – I'm indifferent. I don't hate him. I don't like him. He's just – feels like he's there. Like that, Bert, just felt like he's there. I like Priest a lot. Dunne is doing a good job of putting him over, and this triple threat is probably going to do all of them some good. I would like to say Priest would win. I would like to say Priest would win because I would like to see Dunne in the 5-man team in Survivor Series. And he won't, Dunne wouldn't be in that 5-man team if he's getting a title shot with Adam Cole. But then I think back, you're going to put Pete Dunne in the ring against fucking Braun Strowman? I have a feeling booking's gonna fuck Pete Dunne up badly if they have him in this match. You know, forgetting the fact how good of a match Pete Dunne has had with Walter twice.
True.
You know, so I would rather. So I agree that I'm picking Pete Dunne, and we have the face Pete Dunne against the heel Adam Cole, that they're both gonna get cheered at Chicago because they can fucking go.
Okay.
And we've seen it on NXT television that they can fucking go. But I'm looking at and no disrespect to Dane, but I'm looking, just like you, I'm looking for that breakout moment for Priest where everybody's light bulbs go off and go, now I see why you guys signed Punishment Martinez. I get it. Let's roll.
Okay.
Overall, four matches so far. I might have missed one, or they didn't announce any, or maybe this is it. What do you think overall for TakeOver?
Nine.
Nine.
Yeah, solid. I really, really want to see it. Despite the fact of all my misgivings of, you know, okay, this has to be the match at this time of year, blah, 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 blah. Despite all that.
I'm gonna hit on that in a little bit.
Okay.
Survivor Series on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Man, let's get the shit over with. Lesnar versus Mysterio.
Six. I kind of want to see if Mysterio's gangsta is going to come out, because I don't think we've ever really seen Mysterio's gangsta, but he kind of teased it with the pipe promo where he was like holding the pipe. It's like, all right, wait, yeah, vamos, you know? So I'm kind of interested to see if that's going to happen. That's what it will take for him to even put up a fight. If we see the same Rey Mysterio we've been seeing for the last 5 years, then no, he's a cream puff when it compared to Brock. He's going to just get squashed and that's it.
Yep.
So my little interest rests on whether or not he does anything, Rey does anything out of character. I got Brock winning.
You've seen me on this show for quite some time as an avid MMA guy, fan, and a guy that's been following Brock Lesnar for a long time. I'm at a zero for this.
Zero!
Zero. You are not, for a split second, WWE, you are not going to insult my intelligence by making this match any longer than 10 seconds after what you did to Kofi.
Oh!
If you even pretend, try, saccharine the idea of giving me Lesnar versus Eddie from No Way Out, you're failing. No. You should have done that shit with Kofi. He should have, this should be Lesnar versus Kofi, and give me a 5 or 6 minute match that Lesnar still kills Kofi, but at least Kofi's learning the game. Mega Man, you played Mega Man 2 for 100 times a level because you had to memorize that shit. And I would have wanted to have seen Kofi memorize every couple of minutes and by the third or fourth match come this fucking close. So there's no way in hell that I'm going to suspend my disbelief enough that Rey Mysterio is going to get 15 minutes out of Brock Lesnar, let alone Rey Mysterio is going to be your Universal or whatever fucking belt that Brock Lesnar has now. I am this close to going to negative numbers, bro. I'm at a zero. Fucking zero.
Okay.
All right. Ray better not win this.
Yeah. Dude.
As a Mexican, I would be pissed as fuck. I'd throw him over a wall. No. Lesnar's winning this. This match better not be more than 10 seconds.
You know what? You're right, man. I didn't think to even think about the Kofi aspect of it. Yeah. If you give Ray more than what you gave Kofi, man, fuck that. That being said, I still kind of want to see if Ray brings out the gangsta and all the stuff that I said, but that's a really good fucking point.
The Fiend, Bray Wyatt against Daniel Bryan for the Universal Championship.
Eight. Fiend's winning. It's too early to take it off of him. I know that Bray and Daniel can put on really, really good matches. We've seen it in the past. We know that they could go. And then with this new character, with the Fiend, I hope it doesn't sully stuff. I don't think it will. It might, but eight. Fiend's winning. Sir?
10!
10. 10. Really?
One sentence.
Okay.
Wyatt versus Daniel Bryan was a match of the year candidate on this show. You remember that?
Yeah.
That's it. 10.
Okay.
Everything else is just the confliction of Daniel Bryan. Let me ask you this.
Let me ask you this. What if, because it's the Fiend, we have the fucking mood lighting? And the mood lighting isn't red because now he has a blue belt. It's fucking blue mood lighting. And we get Fiend versus D-Bry with the fucking Sin Cara mood lighting. And it's not the fucking five-star classic that those two had. It's a, you know, back and forth technical stuff, old high drama, whatever. And we get Seth versus Fiend again. Except it's D-Bry. And Fiend just doesn't fucking tap out to the lapel lock. He doesn't tap out to the running knee. You get 17 running knees and it doesn't end.
I understand, man. Okay. I get it. You work for Uber. I get
no, I
you.
Don't.
You work for Lyft. I get it. I understand. You don't understand the term equity.
Okay.
This is my anticipation for the match.
Okay.
If they drop a fucking turd, then that equity goes. But for now, up to this point, Bray Wyatt being nice, talking to Daniel Bryan, the history of the Fiend being the Fiend, Daniel Bryan being conflicted if he wants to be a puppet for all our sheeple again, or if he wants to continue with his own convictions. That's just sprinkles on top of the sundae, bro. 10. That's it.
Robert Medlin says, "No, please, no more red lights. What about blue lights? The belt is blue. Are you okay if the lights are blue?"
Bray's winning.
Yeah, Bray's winning this. The Fiend's winning this.
We already talked about
Cole. I thought you worked at Lids.
No, that was the him. Other Mexican. We him. All look the same. It's okay.
Yeah, yeah. But you don't. But they said, no, it was Arnold, right?
Yeah, because he had all the hats.
He always had the hats. Yeah, yeah.
Anticipation for the NXT title being defended on a WWE pay-per-view. Adam Cole.
Baby.
Versus either. Well, we both agreed that it'd be Pete Dunne. So if we're going by our.
No, I said Damian.
Okay, Damian.
Yeah.
Anticipation for Cole versus Damian.
7.
And you got Cole winning.
Cole's winning.
If I'm picking Cole versus Dunne, I'm at a 9.
Okay.
I've got Cole winning. But I'm going to take that pin off you talked about earlier. By this time next year, I expect War Games to not be an NXT themed pay-per-view. I expect it to be a WWE themed pay-per-view.
Whoa. Okay.
Because this right here is opening the gate for
NXT, all three brands.
For all three brands. Remember, NXT's on USA now. They're on equal playing field. It's no longer developmental. So if you've only have 4 or 5 takeovers a year, then you can supplement some of your B pay-per-views. You mentioned earlier there's 5 contenders now, possibly, for Adam Cole. Mm. How about for a main event of Elimination Chamber, NXT, instead of shoehorning in Raw or SmackDown men or women or tags? Mm. We can get NXT on some of this. Fast forward to our end of the year episode that we're having in a couple of weeks. One of my predictions for next year is that an NXT superstar wins the Royal Rumble and he cashes in his title match against the NXT champion at WrestleMania.
Okay.
This is the beginning of NXT cementing itself as the third brand, and we're going to start seeing a match or two of NXT on every other pay-per-view from here on out, starting with Survivor Series.
Okay.
So, because agreed, I would have rather wanted to see Adam Cole defend his title, Red Dragon defend their titles, Roderick Strong defend his title at TakeOver, and have the girls headline War Games.
Right.
You know, you would have had a lot more meat on that bone as a pay-per-view, and you could have saved, as much as people might not like this, you could have saved Finn Balor to actually build up a good replacement instead of just ham-fisting Matt Riddle in it, you know? So I've got Cole winning his NXT defense, and I'm actually looking forward. I'm hoping this is what starts to get people that light for the casuals to go off, or wrestling fans that just look at Raw and SmackDown, or because of Total Divas, they don't see NXT people on Total Divas and be like, all right, we need to start looking at NXT.
Do you think that this is WWE's secret plan to defeat AEW, is to get that casual audience that you have watching Raw and SmackDown and filtering down them down
to it NXT? Worked so far.
Okay.
It worked last night.
Okay.
Women's supremacy. Becky Lynch, Shayna Baszler, Bayley, triple threat. You're going to be walking around on three legs on Sunday because we're getting a lot of triple threats.
Giggity.
And we're starting with the women.
All right.
Anticipation.
So I'm going to go with about a 9. I like the stuff they've been doing with Bayley. I dig the heel turn. You know, I love me some Becky. Shayna, I'm okay with. And if she loses her War Games match, great. Why cover. Not lose to the other ones?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I had a working theory, but now that we're discussing it, my theory is crumbling. My working theory is that any of the brand supremacy matches, NXT's going to win them. Or excuse me, SmackDown's going to win them because SmackDown is trying to please Fox and WWE is trying to make SmackDown the flagship show.
Especially after last year, Raw went 7-0. Except the New Day with the tag titles on the pre-show that nobody bothered to count.
And now that they're like definitely trying to make SmackDown the bigger deal because SmackDown's giving them the more money because of Fox, I think SmackDown's going to win more stuff. But I like your idea too where you're talking about, well, if we want to win the Monday Night Wars or the Wednesday Night Wars, we need to filter stuff down and importance down to NXT. So that kind of that fucks with my theory. So why not split? Some SmackDown will win, some NXT will win. I don't think Shayna initially was going to win this. I initially wanted to pick Bayley. But if Shayna's team loses, then Shayna needs a receipt. Shayna wins.
I'm just looking at the microcosm of Survivor Series as a whole. I think out of the three women, the one that needs the rub the most is Bayley.
Bayley needs the rub.
Completely overshadowed by Becky's popularity in general and the uprising of Shayna Baszler, especially now with Ronda out of the picture. She's the real fighting woman.
Yeah.
So Bayley. I got Bayley.
Aside from the SmackDown theory, that would have been another reason why I would have picked Becky. But I still think the SmackDown theory is going to apply to the other two, but we could get to discussing those when we get.
I think they planted the seed.
You flipped me on that, so now I'm picking NXT.
Becky planted the seed by mentioning Sasha in her profile in her promo that Becky cut out all her Bayley buddies except the one that's been holding her down the most. So I think Sasha's going to play a hand in having Bayley walk out with the win.
Okay.
How about the guys?
Well, no, you want to do tags first?
Okay. War Raiders from Raw, New Day from SmackDown, Undisputed from NXT. Anticipation level.
Okay, so if I go to the aforementioned SmackDown theory that SmackDown needs all the shine, so because of the money with Fox, I would say New Day. There's a really strong case that out of the two non-guy, like the men's, not looking at the men's, you have the women's and the NXT. All right, the women's at the tag. One of them will be NXT, the other will be SmackDown.
There's a third.
Huh?
There's a third brand supremacy match with titles.
Oh, shit, you're right. I forgot about that one, too. Damn, okay. So, okay, who's representing SmackDown? New Day. And then War Undisputed Era, it represents... Man, War Raiders have been just wrecking shop. It's okay for them to lose this one, especially if they're not involved in the finish. So I'll say NXT wins this too.
Okay.
SmackDown?
If there's one person on NXT, if there's one NXT team in this whole brand supremacy that I'm expecting to win, it's Red Dragon. It's Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. They damn near put on a masterpiece with Revival. I haven't seen Revival look that good since DIY.
Okay.
So, which again, I don't know if we mentioned this. That's my match of the week pick. And there's a couple of people on our Facebook wanted that as our match.
Revival?
Versus Undisputed.
Okay.
I've got Undisputed winning this. They're going to be overcoming the odds because it's fucking War Raiders and they're
more established and they're more over than the New Day. Am I really saying this? Is this real life?
Because Kofi's been the singles guy. You forgot that he would be a tagger, that they did the Freebird stuff.
Yeah.
And even then, it's I'm at a 7 for the tag match because I'm still not used to Kofi not being in the main event scene.
So, okay, is it Kofi and Big E? Yeah, because Xavier is
he's out.
You know what, man? I'm going to flip that. I'm going to say the New Day will win. Because the New Day is the most
anticipation.
Over. 8. You? What was your anticipation level?
7.
Okay. Next.
From Raw, U.S. champ AJ Styles. From SmackDown, Intercontinental champion Shinsuke Nakamura. From NXT, your North American champion, Roderick Strong. Mid-card supremacy. Nakamura has the opportunity to be the king of Strong Styles. Got to give one to the main roster.
10.
For all the blanks that AJ and Nakamura have been dropping, again, I mentioned earlier how in our last episode, it happened an hour ago, about how we build up our heroes to the point that we disappoint ourselves, and we had so much faith in their rivalry last year. I think Roderick Strong, as like the Energizer Bunny, is going to be the thing that keeps this match together, and I can't fucking wait. I'm hoping this is the match that WWE can do a heel versus heel versus heel and make it presentable.
Yeah.
Because unless they pull something on fucking SmackDown on tomorrow that we don't know about that changes the entire story, because they like to do that.
Yeah.
AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan. Okay. They did that the last 2 years. So if this is what we're going with, I'm fucking ready, dude. This could co-main event the fucking show for me.
Whoa! I'm also at a 10. SmackDown theory of Brand Supremacy, all that stuff. I'm going Nakamura. Nakamura is going to win this.
He needs it.
I don't know if he needs it, right?
Yeah.
Out of the three of those guys, I think any three of those could win it. But the thing that's setting it aside for me is he's the SmackDown guy. That's what's doing it for me. But I won't be upset if any of those three win.
Neither am I
going to just enjoy the fuck out of this match. AJ Styles made his name in TNA. Roderick Strong made his name in ROH. And then we have Shinsuke made his name in New Japan. All three of those, ROH at its peak, not ROH now. Yeah. At TNA at its peak, not now. And then New Japan, kind of still towards their peak. But all three of those were heavily involved in their promotions when they were at their peak. And that could be somewhat of a fucking fantasy match. I know we've probably seen Nakamura and Styles.
Styles and Strong in Ring of Honor.
Styles and Strong
in Ring of Honor. Nakamura and Strong on Ring of Honor television.
Exactly.
Yeah, we've seen that. And it's fucking delicious.
We've probably seen them all in one-on-ones with each other in a three-way. That might have happened. Fuck, I don't know. But goddamn, it's going to happen this weekend, pal. Yeah. And hopefully. I'm really interested to see how these three guys will mash it up. And I hope whoever's the road agent for this match will say, you know what?
I hope it's an indie agent.
Y'all do whatever the fuck y'all want to do.
You got 20 minutes, make it work.
Make it work. I know. And if they give them full reign to just do
all they need to know is this is the winner. Y'all figure it out.
Yeah. Do their kind of shit. Just get their indie shit in.
In front of Chicago, they're going to eat that shit up.
Phenomenal forearms, Kinshasas, backbreakers out of nowhere. Can you imagine? Phenomenal forearm countered into a backbreaker. So Roderick Strong gets up, Kinshasa. Fuck, dude. Fuck.
AJ will be safe with the loss because he has the OC to fall back on. Roddy will be okay with the loss because he's got Undisputed to fall back on. Naka needs it for me.
Naka needs it. And
I've got Nakamura winning.
And that's SmackDown.
I've got Nakamura winning.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins, Ricochet, Drew McIntyre, Kevin Owens, Randy Orton from Raw. Roman Reigns, Baron Corbin, Braun Strowman, Shorty fucking G, Mustafa Ali from SmackDown, and five question marks for Team NXT. Brand supremacy.
Five question marks? Like, we don't know who any of them are.
No.
Why?
Fucking War Games. Half of them are going to be beat to shit. They can't guarantee somebody, and then they're injured. Mm. So that's what you get. So far.
Is that the story?
Yep. Possibly.
The story... forgive me if I don't know, because I'm kind of drawing a blank. So we're having Raw versus SmackDown versus NXT, but we don't know what NXT is. Has Regal, has Triple H, has nobody. Shawn Michaels, has anybody said, we're holding this to our vest because we want to surprise you? Or has somebody said, look, we're having War Games the night before. We don't know who the fuck it is.
A combination of both.
But has anybody said it? Has Regal said it?
No. The men's, the women's, and the tag, as far as I checked today, through like a half a dozen sources, including WWE websites, nothing. Bupkis. Square root of Jack. So we won't know until they get there.
Okay.
So, before you give, well, give your anticipation level. What do you think?
It really depends. It could be anywhere from an 8 to a 10.
Okay, so before we get there, other than people that are wrestling already on the card in their own matches, pick five.
All right. Goldie.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Ciampa. Why not Velveteen? Ciampa, Velveteen. Lee Dijakovic. And Bro. I mean, four out of the five who have been in the fucking War Games match the night before.
I would replace Dijakovic. I would have Ciampa, Lee, Riddle. Ciampa, Lee, Riddle. Finn Balor. Walter.
Walter?
Okay. NXT. You got Kaylee Ray coming into it today.
Yeah. They kind of
established. NXT, the Raw and SmackDown that they had overseas in Birmingham, they had NXT UK people on their show.
Walter showed up on SmackDown.
Yeah, so Walter's in there. Keep Lee and Walter on the same fucking team. Let's see Strowman handle that.
That's a big bitch.
You saw how McIntyre handled that as if he bounced like a fucking check. Yeah, that's my five. And okay. I'm at a 10 with that team. I want to see the big dog get neutered by somebody in NXT. I need to see established people from NXT, from Raw and SmackDown put over the NXT guys.
So you want to have Velveteen in there?
That's my sixth man. If somebody's injured, that's be my sixth. And thank Done. God. Thank Done. God. It's thank God it's not Triple H. There have been rumors going around that Triple H is
Triple H himself. Fuck
he's that. He's saying no from what's out there. He's refusing it. He doesn't want to do it. But he's not the one holding the pen in Survivor Series. I wouldn't want to see it. I'd actually respect that he doesn't want to do it.
So it's probably not Cole because he has a title match that night.
He has a title match that night.
And he would have been in War Games the night before. There's no way he's pulling triple duty this weekend.
And he had a ladder match last night.
God damn it.
And we could still see the fucker on Friday.
God damn. We're working that guy to the bone.
With a fractured wrist.
Órale, hasta eso.
Yeah.
Ay.
Your team, what's your anticipation level with your NXT team in this 15 orgy?
Nine.
Which team wins?
SmackDown.
I agree.
Yeah, here's I would like for the NXT team to win, but SmackDown's going to win because of the Fox factor.
Here's what I want to see.
Okay.
And I hate to say this because I almost vomited a few seconds ago. Mustafa Ali and Shorty G should be the remaining survivors. Fuck Roman, fuck Rollins, fuck Braun, fuck Orton, fuck KO. Those two kids need the rub.
Yeah.
Put them over. Make sure they're the guys. What the fuck? Who's going to want to cheer for fucking Roman? At this point, who wants to cheer for Seth? We need to have people. Dude, there was a Survivor Series match where Sheamus and Drew McIntyre were the only two survivors, and that was the beginning of both of their pushes. We need something cemented for Mustafa and for
They did the same thing. They did the same thing with Ziggler. Ziggler was that sole survivor, exactly. And then they started trying to give him
back a push. In the day. Orton was had the reputation of being sole survivor of his NXT teams. We need that for the new guys.
Punk had a really great showing in his Survivor Series match, and that did a lot for him. Yeah. That made their main roster, not the WWE ECW roster, realize, oh fuck, we need to get this guy over. Yeah.
How about the women? Charlotte, Sarah Logan, Natty, Kairi, and Asuka from Raw. Sasha Banks, Carmella, Lacey Evans, Dana Brooke, Nikki Cross from SmackDown. 5 question marks for NXT. Before you give me an anticipation level, pick 5 from NXT.
Did we not already talk about this? No, we didn't. We talked about the one-on-ones. Well, the single, the triple threat, right, with the champs. So
Baszler's out.
Shayna's not in this.
And definitely the other two girls are out, too.
Shayna's keeping the fucking belt because it's not up for grabs.
Yeah.
Okay, so Shayna's definitely not in this. Or is she?
No, she's in that triple threat.
Oh, she's out. Duty. Okay, all right, cool. Io?
Mm-hmm.
Dakota Kai, she's gonna weasel her way into this.
All right,
this
Arnold.
With the storyline, it makes sense. She wasn't allowed. Okay. She wasn't in the reindeer games for the War Games match, so she'll get into this match.
Got you. I'll give you.
Head baddie in charge.
Mia Yim.
Ripley.
Uh huh.
And Kaylee or Candice? Kaylee Ray? Candice. No.
Belair.
Bianca Belair. Yes. Bianca Belair.
Shirai, Ripley, Yim, and Team Kick, Dakota Kai. Those are my 5.
So you are picking her. You're giving me shit for picking Dakota
Kai. Fuck it. Tegan Nox. Oh. I'll replace your all Dakota Kai with Tegan Nox.
All right.
That's my 5.
All right.
With that, I'm at about a 9 for the women.
I'm at about a 9. Oh, Robert Midland. I hope Tony Storm.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Or Piper Niven.
Oh, ooh.
Or Jazzy Gabbert.
Oh.
I forget the girl's name. The daughter of I forget. Oh well. Those are good choice. I'm at a 9 for the girls.
8.
Have we thrown Raw a bone at any of this?
No, I haven't thrown Raw a single bone.
Raw.
I'm gonna stick with SmackDown.
With Charlotte.
I'm gonna stick with SmackDown.
You're gonna stick with SmackDown. You're right, the Fox strain to them.
I'm right, except for the two that I picked NXT. I have a theory.
Okay,
that's my theory. Raw doesn't need any shine right now. It's been the flagship show for so many years, but they're trying to make SmackDown the flagship show right now just because of the money. And we know Vince is all about the money. Exhibit Saudi Arabia, you know. But if you want to also try to throw some salvos at the fucking Wednesday Night Wars, NXT needs to win a few of those. Raw don't need to win shit this year.
As of now, maybe I've passed over it, or it hasn't been completely fleshed out.
Zia Brookside.
That's what I was going to say, Zia Brookside.
All right.
Robbie Brookside's kid. As of now, I don't have any 5 versus 5 versus 5 tag team on this list. I don't know if we're having it this year.
God damn, that'd be killable.
It's too much. Overkill. Yeah, I would agree. So we're gonna just gloss over that.
Yeah.
Put it away.
I mean, that's not advertised, right? That's
not that I'm aware of. Not that I'm aware of. I haven't found it.
Dude, that's 10, this is 10 on 10 out of 10. Already. That's 30 fucking people in one match in an elimination style match. Yeah. No, that's not going to happen.
10 minutes there's
not enough. There's not enough apron.
Unless they keep the two rings there. Not necessarily war games, just as long as they keep the two rings in there.
Yeah. Do we have that many tag teams?
Yeah.
So we're going to need five more tag teams on Raw, five more tag teams on SmackDown, and five from NXT. Mm-hmm. No, we don't have that many. You already have the champs already in a match. Name me some teams, fucker.
From NXT?
No, from all of them. Give me Raw.
You saw the fucking tournament to crown the best tag team in the world in Saudi. There's at least 11 tag teams in the main roster.
Then name them off, bitch.
Keith Lee and Matt Riddle.
All right, and NXT.
Forgotten Sons.
Forgotten Sons.
Shit. 1-2, only Lorcan, Danny Burch.
Okay.
That's three.
You need two more.
Fuck, my brain. shit.
Now don't go start saying fucking Private Party and Dark Order and shit.
I was gonna say Raul Mendoza and Gilberto Carrillo because they have tagged, but I think Carrillo's now on the main roster, so that doesn't count.
Yeah.
Fuck. Help me out in the chat. I need two more teams. All right,
Raw. Give me some from Raw.
OC.
Bitch. OC. Street Profits. They already gave you one.
Street Profits.
Yeah.
Lucha House Party?
Okay.
Kurt Hawkins, Zack Ryder?
Okay. You're fucking scraping that bottom of that goddamn barrel.
Well, they fucking... I've seen more of Kurt Hawkins, Zack Ryder in these last 3 weeks than I've wanted to see. SmackDown.
Yeah, so you just have 14.
We're not there yet. SmackDown. Okay, I'm done. 8 matches so far. Fucking chat room's blank.
Thank you.
8 matches overall, Survivor Series. Does it keep up with NXT TakeOver this year?
Seven.
You had a 9 for TakeOver, 7 for Survivor Series.
Yeah. Mostly because I think this is fucking exhausting.
Robbie E's team debuts. We don't need new people we need established NXT people. I'm going to regret this.
Okay.
For once.
Okay.
Survivor Series, I'm at a 9. They're tied with NXT this year.
Okay.
It's equal mess, equal good, equal everything.
Okay. So, I'm going to throw this out there. Chris, I'm going to ask you a question.
No, CM Punk is not coming out.
What is Abel's favorite kind of match?
Triple threat match.
What do we have a whole fucking lot of this weekend?
Triple threat matches.
We do. Well, now, yes, it's Survivor Series style elimination, blah, blah, blah. But there are a lot of fucking triple threat matches.
You've got 3 days to get some Blue Chew or some Viagra, Cialis.
Chew it and do it, baby.
Shirk it before you work it.
But.
Sorry, dude.
It might be a little bit too much. It might be too much. Too much.
I hope they.
And I like triple threat stuff. I like it a lot. But Eichner and Barthel. There you go. You got another one.
That's four. That's four for NXT. Yeah, that's four NXT for NXT. UK. Oh, well, if we're doing NXT UK, then Mandrews and Flash Gordon Webster.
Okay, what about the Coffee Brothers?
Coffee Bros. We got Gallus. Apparently, they're faces now. I need to catch up, man. Their Blackpool 2 takeover, that tickets went on sale. It sold out in 2 hours.
Still don't have enough for SmackDown.
No. Or Raw.
Shit. I mean, where are the Usos now?
Oh, fuck.
Somebody needs to dust off the Usos real quick. Get them out of jail.
Returning Sheamus and Cesaro?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. I think Sheamus is done.
Hope so.
I don't know. But yeah,
good one, Medlin.
There's an awful lot of triple threats out there. I would like. The brand supremacy stuff doesn't tickle my pickle that much. It is kind of fun for us to sit here and speculate about it, but in canon, in storyline, it doesn't really fucking matter. Especially when you're having people flip flop back and forth all year long with the wild card rule. I understand the wild card rule is done and over with, but still, there's not enough time between that sin And now saying, okay, I'm sorry, guys. We're going to have these people on this show, these people on that show. We're going to have draw a thick, hard line in the sand. And then, oh, now NXT people are showing up. Oh, well, now Raw and SmackDown need to show up on the other ones just to retaliate. And now you've forgotten about that rule. Those contractual obligations to the network that, like, is it worth a hill of beans, apparently.
Yeah.
So, like, nah, man, it's all bullshit, you know? So, yeah.
After everything you just said, which I can't argue,
okay,
the NXT wrinkle makes it all the more interesting for me. Interesting, not necessarily good, interesting to the point that I'm actually going to watch this live.
It's interesting because it does offer a small nugget of hope. And that small nugget of hope is that maybe NXT will be a third brand. Maybe WWE has a grand plan to go up against AEW through NXT. Maybe there's going to be stuff where Triple H is still in charge and NXT is going to thrive. And maybe that's going to start changing Raw and SmackDown a little because NXT is doing so good. You know, maybe there's a little bit of hope there that, like, Finn is going back to the yellow brand and he's going to be the prince. He's going to reign supreme. He's going to be back to where he once was that he lost when he went to the main roster. You know, if you really have NXT to be the third brand that you tried to make WWE ECW and you failed, WWE ECW was a redheaded stepchild, you know? But if you make NXT a third brand legitimately to where next year we don't get WWE 2K21. We get Raw versus SmackDown versus NXT 21. You know,
or Worlds Collide.
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah, yeah. If we get
War Games,
a third brand just based off of this and they're successful at it, then this might be the precipice of it. Might be. Now that's saying that we're gonna invest a whole lot of goodwill into creative and creative for Raw and SmackDown and NXT all working together. That's kind of a tall order. That's something very ambitious that WWE has yet to prove to me that they could actually pull off, but it's nice to sit here and speculate and have that hope.
My prediction next year, October, WWE War Games. Main event, Undisputed Era against the OC with Finn Balor.
No. Undisputed Era versus the OC.
There we go. There we go.
Who's in the OC? Oh, Finn Balor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not? Like, I mean, OC is still a stupid name, but goddamn it. But Gallows, Anderson, Styles, Balor all together in WWE doing their fucking Too Sweet Bullet Club thing that they used to do that they can't call the Bullet Club, but you know, because the Bullet Club's pretty much dead. The Bullet Club, everybody Bullet Club's pretty much dead. You. Bullet Club is pretty much dead. Everybody here in America running a Hot Topic in little skull shirts and all that shit, that's no more. Yeah, I get it. Bullet Club's still there with fucking Tama Tonga, but nobody in America gives a fuck about that. And Jay White, nobody gives a fuck about Jay White. You know, nobody is running. Nobody's running to Hot Topic to buy a Jay White shirt, okay? Nobody's doing that shit. Nobody's running to Hot Topic to get a Tonga shirt, okay? But
yet,
not 2 years ago, even a year ago, people were eating that shit up with a spoon. That was what we wanted to see with AJ showing up. WWE, hey, Finn's here now. He's here with Finn.
Andrews and Gallows.
Yeah, okay, cool. This is what we wanted to see. We wanted to see Bullet Club America, Bullet Club in WWE. You have the opportunity to start doing that now.
Yeah.
All right.
Before we go,
there was one more thing, but this might be the same thing. But go ahead. I got something. What was your before we go?
Oh, we're talking Impact.
Oh, that is the before you go. All right, Impact.
It took the weekend of the show, but Slammiversary, I think it was Slammiversary, sold out in Dallas. Impact officials like the reception so much that they're coming back to Dallas in January for their first pay-per-view of the year. Hard to get is their new
heavyweight champion Sami Callihan defending the title against Tessa Blanchard. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
The match leading up to that, the six-way match to determine the new number one contender, pretty good.
Yeah.
I didn't get to see all of it in one chunk. I saw, like, you know, the majority of it here and there. Pretty good.
Was that like 2 weeks ago?
It's last week.
Last week?
Yeah, unless I got my weeks wrong, but I thought it was last week.
Because I heard that she also beat Brian Cage one-on-one.
I don't know about that, okay. But okay.
But regardless, I'm going to have to start looking at Impact again.
You know what? I got a hot take about Impact.
Go for
Impact it. Has the best commentary team on wrestling right now.
Oh, Matthews and...
Callis.
Oh, Callis. Oh.
They're so good.
Yeah. They had the time. They had the time.
They've had the time, but they also have the lack of fucks to give.
You noticed that?
And too? It works.
It works. Yeah.
It works kind of like... And
Matthews screams at everything.
I know this. This is no. Mauro screams at everything.
He ran out of voice. He couldn't scream at half the shit that happened last night.
This may piss a few people off, but I get a Deadpool vibe out of them. Like, they're so irreverent that they don't care, but they're still trying and they're still competent. So they're good at what they do, but they just. Nobody's going to fire them. Nobody's going to slap their hand. They've already hit rock bottom. They're not going to get any worse than what they already were at Impact. So they're like, fuck it. We're just going to say whatever the hell we want to say. Yeah. And they have fun with it. And now they're starting to get back on the come up. So they are the best commentary team on wrestling. AEW, wow. NXT, Raw, SmackDown, wherever. They are the best team.
Wow.
Best commentary team.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the show. Chances are I might actually try to make my way out there. It's Dallas. I missed the last time because I was out of town.
Yeah.
But Impact is doing something else. Next week for Thanksgiving.
Yes.
They're doing a throwback throwdown episode.
Yes.
Of Impact Wrestling. Tell the people what the fuck that is.
Well, see, apparently, back in the day, when Southpaw Championship Wrestling was having their come up, when they were very popular, there was another wrestling organization that was out there that was their competitor. They're WCW to Southpaw's WWE, you know, if you will. So they were the competitors. So we're actually going to get to see that. Impact is taking their wrestlers, giving them all 80s gimmicks, giving them different personas, and they're just going to have an entire episode of them being back in the fucking territory days, 80s and 70s fucking wrestling. I fucking love it. And here's the cherry on top. Because they have like a trailer for this out. The cherry on top is that they were showing all the wrestlers and their different alter ego personas, right? The best one was Rhino. Rhino, apparently, at some point in his career, I shouldn't say Rhino. I should say Frank the Butcher. Yeah. Was it Frank?
The Butcher!
The Butcher. Apparently, the Butcher had some sort of contractual dispute with Southpaw and left Southpaw and went to Impact. So he has the exact same goddamn character he had in Southpaw. What is it? What are they calling it? Impact IPFW or something like that? Impact Pro Wrestling,
Federation.
Impact Pro Wrestling Federation. Yeah, something like that. So, oh my God. When I saw Rhino as the Butcher from Southpaw, but here, it was like, oh God, this is fucking gold. Gold.
Gimmick infringement!
Yeah, and it's not like Southpaw was it was a commercial for KFC. They're saying the entire goddamn 2-hour episode of Impact is going to be dedicated to this. I I am watching this Thanksgiving.
I'm watching
this. This is going to be my Thanksgiving.
Impact's on Tuesday.
I'm watching it on Thanksgiving. I might watch it on Tuesday. Fuck it. But I'm definitely watching it that weekend or week or whatever. Yeah, I'm watching that.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And like,
it's funny because I like the concept of Southpaw, but they never followed through. It was just 10 minutes worth of promos for like 6 episodes, and that was it. There was never any it never built to anything. I'm curious to see how this is going to work.
So there's a character currently on Impact. What's his name? Jimmy Swinger? Johnny Swinger? James Swinger? Something like that. Do you know about this guy?
He used to be a ref. Johnny Bravo.
It's
Johnny Bravo.
Well, his name is definitely Swinger. It's something Swinger, right?
Yeah.
Well, his gimmick right now, currently, like outside of this episode that we're talking about, the throwback episode, his gimmick is that he is an 80s wrestler. He has the fucking spandex. He has the spandex with the slinglet, the long hair. He's, you know, talking about baby oil, and he took a dump in Ken Shamrock's bag as a rib brother. You know, he's going around to like some of the X Division guys and calling them young boys and asking them to carry his bags. And they're like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You know, like he has that like gimmick of the douchebag 80s, 70s wrestler, right? So I would absolutely, because he wasn't in that little trailer from what I could tell.
You want a younger virgin?
No, I would just love for him to show up as himself in this, you know, in this fucking special episode. Like, that needs to happen. So, okay.
Fucking Sammy Callahan is going to be the Jim Cornette guy.
Yes.
He's got to the side with
he's got
racket.
A tennis racket.
Oh, we know the undertones of that shit. I can't wait.
Oh, my God. It's going to be so good, dude. So Impact's not taking themselves very seriously, which is the only way I think they're going to dig themselves out of the hole that they put themselves into. And that's okay, because I'm kind of secretly rooting for them now.
Yeah.
But aside from this episode, we're not taking them so seriously. They're killing kayfabe, brother. Whatever. Fuck you. Wrestling's supposed to be fun, and this is fun. But outside of that, the stuff they're doing with the Rascals, the stuff they're doing with the North, the
heel RVD.
Heel RVD.
The picture of RVD with his wife
and his girlfriend.
Live it up, brother.
Yes.
Live it up.
Woo. Congratulations, sir. That's fucking awesome. His wife. You haven't watched WoW. His wife is on WoW, and she has a gimmick where she is carried to the ring by her rats. Her rats are all, it's like six dudes that are all buff, six-pack, only wearing little booty shorts, and that's it. And they, like, fan her and give her water throughout the match, and they, like, try to interfere, but they're kind of incompetent because they're just dumb eye candy and stuff. That's fucking gold. It's fucking gold. But anyway, back to what I was saying about Impact. The stuff that they're doing with their X Division guys, the stuff they're doing with their tag team guys, it's really good. And the stuff they're doing here with Tessa, I fucking love it. Because as much as we want to talk about the Women's Revolution and the first Women's WrestleMania and the first Women's Hell in a Cell and the first Women's this and that WWE is doing, they are not afraid to break down a completely separate barrier that WWE has very plainly said, we are not crossing this line with having men versus women and intergender stuff.
They're flirting it with Nia Jax.
They're kind of flirting
and
it.
Then they, yeah. And then she flirted with her knees and they both went.
And yeah, that's it. But this chick is fucking taking out fools in one-on-ones, in multi-person matches, in tag matches. She's taking out the boys. And it's making her look like a real badass.
Yeah.
You know, she is flirting with that line of probably being more of a badass than Becky.
Becky's moment of badassery last year building up to Survivor Series, I respect. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I cared about Becky. I spent money on her merch.
Yeah.
So it's winning. With that being said, I haven't been invested in a female character like Tessa since Sexy Star. Because what did Sexy Star do?
She was a badass and she beat up the dudes.
She won the men's heavyweight championship there.
Yep.
You know, that's a big fucking deal. Yeah. You know, even if it is a small fish in a small pond, it doesn't matter. On the globe, it's there. And you will find it no matter where in that globe you turn it.
Yeah.
You know, and if Tessa does the deed and beats fucking Sami Callihan and that is the heavyweight champion for the men, Tessa Blanchard, fuck, dude.
Yeah.
That's the mark, man. So there's enough momentum now that hopefully if I'm ditching 3 hours worth of Raw and 2 hours worth of SmackDown, then my calendar's starting to free up. And if this throwback throwdown might be just the thing that gets Impact back on the rankings as far as my watch list.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll see.
All right.
We're back tentatively. December 12th, we'll be previewing WWE's TLC pay-per-view.
Okay.
But also we'll be previewing NWA's Into the Fire.
Oh.
Their first pay-per-view since going on YouTube Live weekly with their weekly show.
Okay.
It's $20 right now if you pre-order.
Okay.
Just keep that in mind. And then possibly on the 29th, our Best of 2019 episode.
Hot dog.
We'll see who shows up for that.
Yeah, we'll see.
Anything else?
Nah, man, I think that's the show. Adios, my friends. Keep it classy. Do we want to turn on the TV and see what's going on with the Texans game?
The laptop's in my way, so I might as well just turn it off. I'm on my way up there.
Okay.
Do you want to be disappointed?
Probably.
We'll do this live. Oh, we're doing it live!
Oh, shit.
2 minute warning in the fourth quarter. Houston is up 20-17 with possession.
Wow.
So they have 2 minutes to fuck it up.
Yeah. To snatch defeat from the jaws of victory.
Deshaun breaks ankle, out for rest of season.
Fuck! No way.
Psych.
I would have believed you, man. I would have believed you.
Thank you for watching Houston Football Radio.
Yes.